It's Culturetopia, the pop culture channel of NPR News. I'm Zoe Chase, producer at the Arts Desk. Today we have Pop Off, where we're taking a tour of songs at the top of the charts. All the hits, as you'll hear in a moment, have an electronic shimmer to them, as if they've been computer processed to be more perfect than perfect. That's what Jay Smooth and Maura Johnston of our Pop Off team are talking about.
So Jay, if I think I had to pick one adjective to describe the top 10 right now, that adjective would be gloss.
There's some sort of plastic coating on top of each of them. It's hard to pinpoint, but they sound like they've all been run through the same processing plant. There's definitely been a trend for years now towards trying to make things as loud as possible by making the loud parts of the song quieter and the quieter parts of the song louder. So it's just this constant onslaught of every element of the song being turned up to 11, which sort of dulls out the dynamic range of each sound and makes everything sound sort of flat and glossy in a similar way, which I think is a big part of what makes all these songs sound so similar.
It's so funny because when you put, you know, songs into the sort of iTunes shuffle jumble, and you hear, you know, a song that was recorded a couple of months ago, and then it's followed up by a song that was recorded in, say, 1991 that you used to blare, you know, on your stereo. The dynamic range in those two songs is often jarring. I got the magic in me. Every time I touch that track, it turns into gold.
Everybody knows I've got the magic in me. And they have plugins for iTunes,
yeah,
that gives you extra normalizing and extra compression so that each track is compressed the same way if you're listening to songs from different eras.
I feel like this is a more technologically advanced version of the trick that radio stations used to do back in the earliest days of Top 40 radio, you know, when certain songs that might not have had a certain pop to them were released. Some stations would pot the song up maybe a pitch or two to make the listeners' ear sort of like jump at the sound of the slightly faster drums, slightly more tinny vocals.
Right. I think for those of us who grew up with analog recording process for the music we heard, you know, there's a certain degradation of the sound. The technical limitations of how you're recording gave it a particular warmth and crackle and crispiness that we associate with being right and correct, but actually is not a pristine recording compared to the modern technology. And I think through the 70s into the 80s, especially when we were initially switching over to using digital recording processes, we were trying to figure out how to simulate that acoustic analog warmth. And we were trying to use little digital tricks to make it sound more analog. And through exploring that process, I think especially in hip-hop, it developed a sound that sort of fetishized those technical limitations and really maximized the crispiness and the warmth and made the sound extra degraded in a way that sort of made it hyper-natural.
Right.
And that sort of became the standard for us in the 80s, especially if you were a hip-hop fan. One song that's trying to work its way up the pop charts right now is Holding You Down by Jasmine Sullivan, which sounds like it was conceived in a laboratory specifically to pander to me and my analog sensibilities. It fully maximizes the crispy, crunchy, sample-based hip-hop sound. Jasmine Sullivan has this really rich, earthy voice that used to be commonplace in soul and R&B, but you don't hear it as often now because that sort of rich, deeply expressive voice doesn't translate well in the modern form of processing with auto-tune and all of the heavy reverb and compression. And I wonder whether a song that has that feel can really break through to the top of the charts nowadays.
Well, you know, it's funny because you think of Jasmine, like thinking of Jasmine Sullivan, who I think is a really great singer, I would say her most across-the-board commercial visibility is probably from her song Bust Your Windows being used in one of the early episodes of the show Glee. And Glee, to me, is the ultimate sort of representation of non-naturalistic singing being presented in a natural way. Gave you all of me and you played with me.
I bust the windows out your car. You busted my window. How could you? You busted my window.
When the songs on that show kick in, you hear all of the sort of ambient noise of whatever room they're in, it whooshes out and you hear, you know, the auto-tune, and this was made in a studio laboratory feel. To me, it's very jarring. To me, it actually makes the show almost unwatchable.
Auto-tune was used for years in a subtle way to sort of make it on key in a way that wouldn't be perceptible to most people. And then starting with Cher's Do You Believe in Life After Love, they turned the auto-tune up to 11
right.
And just made it blatantly obvious that we're doing something fake with this voice. And since then, that's become the norm. So sad that you're leaving. Takes time to believe it. Where in the analog era, we sort of fetishized the limitations and we fetishized being less than perfect. I think now we deliberately overuse the technology and fetishize making it sound more than perfect.
It reminds me of this one scenario in David Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest with the rise of the video phone, where people are, you know, at first they really like the technology, but then they start getting, you know, they start masking themselves while they're on the phone in these more elaborate ways, to the point where the masking almost becomes about how much effort went into the sort of, like you said, the process of perfection.
Right. If you look at the song like an actor who's going to be on stage, we perfected the art of stage makeup that would make them look natural on
right.
stage. But after a while, it evolved to a point where we were deliberately overdoing the makeup so that it's sort of kabuki theater on stage.
I feel like people are trying to ululate to sort of mimic that sound too.
Yeah, there are certain vocal techniques that will sound particularly interesting in auto-tune because of auto-tune's process of trying to correct it,
mm-hmm.
especially if you do something like a glissando, like sliding up from one key to another. Auto-tune will struggle to process that, and it'll make all these weird, glitchy sounds. So people are learning how to be an auto-tune-optimized vocalist. And if you listen to people like Drake or Lil Wayne, or especially, obviously, someone like T-Pain or Akon. I feel you creeping, I can see it from my shadow. Wanna jump up in my Lamborghini Gallardo. They've developed vocal techniques that specifically work well with auto-tune that mm-hmm. wouldn't sound proper at all. And people who are classically trained vocalists, they'll sound off in auto-tune because they're not using auto-tune-friendly techniques.
Like us sitting around talking about this and talking about, you know, the different imperfections and technological advances that are allowed to happen, I wonder if 20 years ago people were talking about, you know, Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2 in similar ways, saying, oh man, there are just so many guitars on this record, I don't know. I wonder if this is just, if us noticing this is more a generational shift than anything.
I mean, I think it's very easy for each generation to perceive their own way of doing things as the most expressive, most complex, most meaningful way of doing things. When big band music was eclipsed by bebop, you know, a Duke Ellington arrangement was far more complex compositionally than anything that was going on in the bebop era. But that simplicity on one level in bebop opened up this huge landscape for people to explore more complex improvisation. Each generation and each movement is going to sacrifice complexity in one area and find rich expressiveness in some other area. But because we're accustomed to finding that rich meaning in this one place, we'll usually perceive the next generation as not having any complexity when it's really there, just not in the place that we're looking for.
That's Jay Smooth. He hosts a hip-hop video blog at illdoctrine.com, and he's the founder of New York's longest-running hip-hop radio show, WBAI's Underground Railroad. Maura Johnston is a freelance pop music writer, and you can find her blog on her Tumblr, maura.tumblr.com. I'm Zoe Chase. Thanks for listening to Culturetopia.